Blog Talk Radio. thought about getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes, we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Ginny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great. Hey, are you looking to find true love, the perfect job, prosperity, or the road to good health? Science has proven that our bodies are made up of a complex energy system called chakras. These chakras can be tuned up just like a car. Imagine if your car was not running correctly. Would you just sit back and assume it would magically fix itself? If your refrigerator stopped cooling, do you think you would just wait and see what happens, or would you be afraid that all your food would spoil and call a repairman? Chakra clearing and balancing is the same thing. When things are not going right in your life, whether it's your love life, your career, your bank account, or your health, can you afford to just sit back and wait and hope that somehow it will simply just correct itself? Chakra can even help the most stressed out person regain their sense of calm and inner serenity, regardless of what's going on around them. You can get a full chakra clearing and realignment long distance over the phone by calling 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446. We'll be happy to clear and balance all your chakras. Look forward to tomorrow. A chakra clearing does take 1 hour time. We look forward to hearing from you. And welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with my co-host,
Jessica.
And we want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. It's going to be a wonderful show because one of the things we're going to be talking about is how everybody, each individual, can tap into their own romantic intuition. You know, a lot of times people go to psychics, mediums, intuitives, however you want to call them, and they say, you know, look, well, what's my romantic future look like? When am I going to meet the woman or the man of my dreams?
Uh-huh.
When is that going to happen? When am I going to get married? When am I going to have kids? And I think it's really important for people to know that everybody has that intuition. Everybody has that sixth sense. We're going to talk a little bit tonight on how to tap into that.
I need to
tap
into
mine. So it's going to be a great show. There you go. And I'm going to give you the tips to be
well,
able
good.
To do that. So it'll be really fun. We're, of course, going to be doing our mini angel readings tonight. So anyone who's interested in getting an angel reading tonight, you can give us a call at area code 323-679-0882. That's 323-679-0882. And you can even Skype. Now, you can't see us if you Skype because Jessica's scary looking. I, however...
You're so funny.
Yeah. No, honestly, I would have to actually put on makeup, and I didn't want to have to do that. So you
yeah, and I would
me.
Have to brush my hair.
And your teeth. if you could see the laser eye death look that I just got. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're calling you right now, tuning in from Central Florida,
yes.
Our wonderful state of Central Florida.
And the weather is beautiful today.
The temperature's dropping, and it's going to be 65 tomorrow. It got real windy today, which was not good because the allergies pick up.
I know.
You know, all that pollen gets swept all
but
over the
place. Better than being 20 degrees.
Anything's better than being 20 degrees.
Right.
No one should have 20-degree weather. I want to talk about something that's been on the news. It's been taking up the news for the last couple of days, and that's that flight that just disappeared.
I know. It's so bizarre, isn't it?
It's kind of crazy because everyone's looking for it, and we're talking about the flight that took off. I think it was, and forgive me, I don't actually have the exact information, but I believe it took off from, was going
It was going to Beijing. I don't know where it originated, though.
Malaysia Airlines. It was Malaysian Airlines.
Okay.
I know that. But all I know is that it just fell off, you know.
Well, it suddenly
planet.
Just disappeared off radar.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying that the last sign of the plane was recorded at 2:40 a.m. on Saturday, and that the aircraft was near Palau, if I pronounce that, Perak, I'm terrible with these kind of names. It's an island that 160 kilometers off the western shore of the Malaysian peninsula. So, you know, what they're saying is it just, that's it. It's just like they blinked their eye and it was gone. And no one knows what happened. And apparently there were like 239 people on board. I think there were 12 crew members. So that's pretty scary.
Which is
you
crazy because normally they have that black box, which sends out a signal once they sink into the ocean or whatever.
Right. And it's kind of weird because, you know, they always have the black box, but like you said, the GPS is always working.
Right.
But apparently the GPS stopped working.
Well, everything stopped working.
And if you've ever, you know, I've done this probably illegally. You know, I have a handheld GPS, not the ones we use on the phone, although that'll probably be as effective. I have a GPS that actually will be within 2 feet of a coordinate, and I've used it in airplanes, and it gives me elevation and everything.
Oh, really?
Extremely exact, and I know I wasn't supposed to use it, but I did, because I was curious as the plane was going up and down if it would kind of read similar to what the pilot was saying. You know where they get on the phone and say, Carl, welcome everybody to flight 2371.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I always used to, like, take it out and just try and see if it was, and it was really, really accurate. But when you start to descend, right, and the flight starts to go down, which it would have to if it was crashing for, say, you know, say in the ocean.
Well, but
right?
You think they'd have some time from a certain elevation. If they feel themselves starting to go down, they'd have a distress call. They'd have something.
They would have something, and there was absolutely, you know, as a matter of fact, the last words that they actually sent out from the plane that was recorded is, all right, good night. Because that is what the message that was sent from the cockpit to the controllers in response to being informed that the plane was now entering Vietnamese airspace.
Right.
So that was the last words. All
so
right,
obviously
good night.
Everything was fine at that moment.
You know, and then all of a sudden it just literally dropped off. And there, you know, there's just there's a lot of finger pointing right now. I had read somewhere that Chinese officials say that a government website has images of suspected.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Kind of like saying alleged, right? Debris from the missing Malaysian Airlines plane. And they said that there are satellite images on the morning of March 9th that appear to show three suspected floating objects of varying sizes. And then the report also includes coordinates of the location of the site off the southern tip of Vietnam and east of Malaysia. So, you know, I actually saw a picture of it today, and I thought, how very interesting. It's just so weird to me that, you know, I know that when a plane goes down, it has always been, it will hit, sadly, with such impact and such force that it will cause a debris, field of debris.
Oh, sure, sure.
And so some of that will be seen.
But
apparently they're just really having a hard time figuring out where this thing disappeared.
Well,
Which leads to...
We were talking about it at work today, and, you know, some of us are throwing around that whole UFO thought.
And see, you know, I'm going to say this, okay? We don't know what happened. You know, we've heard all these stories, you know, of the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
You all have heard of my Bermuda Triangle story in Texas, where all of my electronic equipment stopped working, from the cellular phones that were supposed to work to the satellite phone that I had there, to the GPS unit that I brought, two GPS units.
Right.
Everything stopped working. All the batteries died. I had a huge, you know, 22-inch wide in diameter search SOS light that would go on the top of the car. Batteries were drained. Everything. And all this was checked. You know,
yeah.
I'm really good about my equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know what happened. I feel they're going to find the debris.
You think
and
so?
I think they're going to find them. But there is a lot of theories out there, and they are saying that right now they cannot discount a terrorist attack, which is really sad and scary, too.
Well, because you just don't know.
But here's the other thing you have to look at. You know, you hear stories like this, and you start to think to yourself, because we're all logical thinking people. We're saying, well, you know, certainly if there were aliens that were abducting, you know, 239
That's a lot of
passengers,
people,
including crew. We would know about it, or at least, you know, there'd be something to find. And yet this has happened where people have disappeared in large quantities,
mm-hmm,
like that. And then you watch shows like Supernatural, where whenever there's a major event and they don't know how to explain it, they always say it's a gas leak. Now, yeah, there was a gas leak. There was a huge explosion. And it's not funny, and it's really sad that in Harlem today there was an explosion in an apartment house.
Right.
And I don't know what the exact details are because I haven't gotten them, but, you know, they were saying that it's a suspected gas leak. And so with the plane going down and that happening, your mind just starts to spin a little bit, and you think, what's going on here?
Hey.
I just feel sorry for all those families, you know, because not knowing, I think,
not
is
knowing,
the worst part.
Right, not
you
knowing.
Know?
That's terrible.
Devastating that a person may not have survived, you know, a plane crash,
right,
but even more so is to not know what happened, what really happened at all.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that.
Whether it be a terrorist attack or not, or the plane just crashed, why would the GPS, it's not easy to disconnect a GPS unit, I mean, from
right,
a plane. Right.
So how could that have just happened out of the blue?
I don't know. It's kind of, you got to wonder, don't you?
Creepy.
I would say it's pretty creepy. I'm flying's not my favorite thing, but that's another thing altogether. Let's talk a little bit about our readings tonight. As everyone knows, when you call in, you can feel free to ask a question or two. We do limit these to what we call mini angel readings simply because we have a lot of people that call in. We want to make sure we can get to as many people as humanly possible. If you have something that's of a highly specific nature that maybe we don't want to put out over the airwaves, I may on occasion take a little song break and speak to you privately so that, you know, I can either protect you or a loved one with information that shouldn't be sent out over the airwaves. So I always want to state that in advance. And, of course, generally I do not do mediumship-type readings on this show, mostly because when I'm doing that to connect, it does take a little bit of a few minutes longer than it would be,
uh-huh,
when I would be doing a reading here. So we always like to tell people that as well. And then the last thing I like to tell people is let's start with a little prayer, always before we do these readings. So I'm going to do that right now. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus, saints, and angels, I ask that the readings that I do tonight be accurate and truthful and bring blessings to everyone involved. Please safeguard all the readings that we do and make sure that only God's pure helpers of divine light come through. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, very good. So what say ye? Shall we take our first caller?
Take the first caller.
I think we should. Here we go. The first caller is calling in from area code 904 with a prefix of 534. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hi. This is LaChandra.
LaChandra. Yeah. Where are you calling from, LaChandra?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida? Very good. So are you East Coast or West Coast? You don't have to tell us the town you're in.
I don't know.
Okay, LaChandra, now this should not be that hard a question.
I'm in Jacksonville.
I'm going to tell you how it's easy to figure out, okay? When you look at the ocean, are there waves or is it pretty flat?
I don't know. I haven't been out. I'm in Jacksonville. I've only been here.
Okay, there you go. We're good. Okay.
So she's northern Florida.
We'll just say you're northern Florida. I understand the reason
for
your dilemma.
Florida.
That makes sense. Well, how can I help you this evening?
Well, that's the reason I called, because I actually want to take you back to Texas. I just haven't been really getting the feeling of the energy here in Florida. It's just not working for me.
I understand that.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to see, when do you see the opportunity for me to go back to Texas? I was trying to push for May, hoping that my divorce is finalized by
mm-hmm.
then.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to see, what do you see around it, and do you see me finding employment?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to tell you that I do see you heading back to Texas, but I'm seeing closer to the end of June, beginning of July. So I'm not seeing that happening as quickly as you would like it to, but I'm being told it's actually going to benefit you in the long run. I do see you going back to Texas. I'm going to ask you a silly question. Was there some kind of government job you were looking to apply for?
I was trying to teach, and, you know, I graduated in May with my master's in adult education, and
mm-hmm.
I want to teach, I wouldn't mind getting, you know, a government job.
Well, when I say government job, it means working for the county, the state, or on the federal level. And I see, so teaching definitely is, in my mind, teaching for, you know, the county, which it falls under the umbrella of working for the government. So I do see that happening. And I think that's a great goal for you. I think one of the things that you have to think about is that what I want you to do when you get back to Texas is to utilize some of the information we're going to be talking about later on the show about tapping into your romantic intuition. Because you knew the person you married was not right for you when you married them, correct?
Right. Yeah, I did, and I ignored it.
Mm-hmm. Because that's like, it's like, that's like, I'm seeing red flags all over the place. And it's really funny because I really did not know what our topic was going to be tonight until 2 minutes before the show started. I just wait for inspiration to hit. So maybe that inspiration was for you, because I do see that's something you need to learn, how to be single when you get back.
Okay.
And not get into any relationship right away. And I know this is not the question you asked me, but I kind of have to give what I get.
No, that's okay. I want to do that. And it's
okay.
Like I already know.
Yeah, and it's you do know it, right? So you're going to give yourself the time to learn how to be alone with yourself and feel comfortable with that, because then you'll make a whole lot better choices when you go back out into the dating world. And when those red flags pop up, don't think that you can fix it, because that's like one of the most common mistakes that I see all the time. People think, well, I can fix this. It's okay. I want to fix this person. You can't fix people. That's not who
no,
you are.
And I learned it through this marriage that I just, you know, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, and that's always the problem. You can fix you, but none of us can control another person, right? So the harder we try, the more we set ourselves up for failure, because ultimately we only control ourselves in this world. So you have to make sure you're happy, and you have to get on a life path that's right for you. And then you can add a person to complement that life path, but he shouldn't be that life path, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my suggestion. So I do see, like I said, end of June, beginning of July, I do see moving to the wonderful, I'm going to say, country of Texas. Because everyone from Texas tells me it's a country, it's not just a state, so I have to go with that. And I think you'll do very well there, okay?
Okay.
And congratulations on moving forward in that other situation, your personal situation, because it is the right thing to do, and I think you know that.
Yeah, I do.
All right, good, very good. God bless you, hon. Thank you for calling in tonight, okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now. Well, she was sweet.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I like that. I like that she's making the right move, the healthiest move for her, and it really is the healthiest move for her. Let's go ahead and take our next caller at area code 207 with a prefix of 838. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hi there. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm good.
What's your first name, sweetie?
My first name is Rolina.
Oh, yes, you called last week, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Well, a couple of weeks ago. I'm from Maine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which I love.
I'm not sure where this question will land for you. I'm not really sure if I'm... Okay, yeah, I'm just going to say it.
Well, just put it out there.
Okay. I was married for 25 years, now divorced for 7. My ex is still in the home that we both have our names on. I walked away with nothing, no alimony, no nothing. Recently, he got a promoted to supervisor on an island that we used to live on. He informed me last night that he was thinking about buying another home on this island or renting. And I told him that if he was going to do that, he needed to put the house that has my name on it on for sale. I feel as though... I feel like I've gotten pretty much the raw deal of this whole thing, and I'm thinking that if he tries to, you know, and I pretty much have stood back and just kind of let things go, and because my daughters are older now, but then they were in their teens. They still needed a home and all this, and even though they were older, they still needed a roof over their heads. I'm just feeling like I might need to get a lawyer on this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I want to ask you, can he build an extra home on the island, and can he make a lot of guest rooms? Because I think living on an island would be kind of fun. I just want to put that out there.
I lived most of my life on that island.
Now, you're being very careful not to name the island. Is that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay, I understand that completely. This is really what I want to say to you is that the truth is, a lot of times emotionally when we get divorced or become separated and we want it to go as quickly as possible or as smoothly as possible, our emotional involvement tends to maybe not let us think as logically as we should be thinking. And so we just want that attachment, that hold that that person has on us to be gone, and so quicker the better. And we do end up often getting a very, very raw deal. Now, you had children with this man, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Two or three?
Three.
Okay. So based on that, what I want to say to you is that you absolutely, hands down, need to get an attorney involved, because let me ask you this question. If I came to your house and I said, I have good news for you, I'm going to cap all your teeth, and you said, great, and I said, good, I'm a financial planner, but I can pretty much figure this out, would you let me cap all your teeth?
I didn't really understand your question.
Okay. I'm gonna say it again. You need dental work, and you need a bunch of crowns. And I call you up and say, I can do this really inexpensively, and I can be out there in a week, and I can crown all your teeth, no problem. And I come out there, and you say, great, I really appreciate this. And I say, yeah, now, by the way, I'm not licensed to do this, but I'm a really good financial planner, so you don't mind, right?
No.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't send to your children to school to be taught by somebody who is a hairdresser when they need to learn social studies or mathematics, right? So for the same reason, you wouldn't want to be your own attorney, because although I know you're highly intelligent, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, we both know it, and you can't even say you're not because you're so smart and you know it. So would you assume that maybe you wouldn't be your best own attorney in this case?
Well, I think it's gone beyond that point. I mean, I've been divorced from him for 7 years, and this house was supposed to be sold a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the reasons it wasn't, financially, and the reason why I didn't take alimony is because he was in no place to give me alimony.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a bad spot, and now that, you know,
that's no longer the case, you feel like maybe you can go after it.
I feel that he has no business trying to buy another home where there's a home that needs to be sold before he even makes that step.
And that was already in the verbiage of the divorce decree that you had, that the home was supposed to be sold and the assets divvied up?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I would agree with you. I would say that the home does have to be sold. And I think that legally somebody just needs to impress that upon him, not you, but the legal institution.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you definitely need to hire an attorney, and I think you need to go after that. And I think that you will definitely get some kind of satisfaction out of that, not only just, you know, the personal satisfaction of knowing you're not sitting back and you won't feel as taken advantage of. However, the flip side of this is, and you know this better than anyone, you can't – I think probably the hardest part is when a person gets divorced and they struggled and they struggled, and they maybe helped put that person through school, and they were there for all the downs and all the difficult times. And then you get a divorce, and then all of a sudden they start to thrive, right?
Right.
But
right.
You don't have any claim to those assets because you didn't make a claim to those assets when the divorce was done. So that's sometimes frustrating, but I would say we often have to just kind of realize that the fact that we're no longer
yeah.
with that person may be the biggest gift
right.
of all. Okay.
Right, but this house, I do have claim for.
Right, I know, and you, and you do deserve to have it sold, and your part of the assets need to be distributed to you. End of story.
Right,
and I do see that that's going to happen. And by the way, I'm going to be in Maine for the month of July and part of August, and so is Jessica, for part of
that
as well. So we're going to be up near the mountains and lakes region in western Maine. And we have a big group of women that are going up, and it's going to be really nice. You know, you have a large spiritualist community up there. You know that?
Yes, we do. I believe we do.
Mm-hmm. You really do. And there's actually a town, not unlike a town we have here in Florida, called Casadega. And up there it's called, I believe, Etna, E-T-N-A. You should look it up,
okay.
Google it. And it's in Maine.
Uh-huh.
And it's a spiritualist camp, and they have a wonderful reputation. So you might want to look into that sometime. I think it's about two and a half hours from where you are, but it might be interesting for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I do see something positive coming from this, so definitely hire the attorney. That way the proper steps can be taken. Okay, did you hire an attorney when you first got divorced?
I didn't. I did this on my own, and I wanted nothing to hold up this divorce because there was a lot of controlling going on, and I just needed to be done with this.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. That's why I said a lot of times when people get a divorce, they settle because they just want to get out of it really quick and the hurt and the pain, and I understand that. But now's your chance to go back and at least get what you did settle for at that time because you deserve that. So definitely do get an attorney. I see it will work out well for you, and it'll be rather quick too, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you
so
much.
Good luck. You're so welcome.
Alrighty.
I'm so glad you called in again. You take care and God bless.
All righty. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Yeah, it's always hard, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I went through a divorce too, and I know.
It's hard because you do. You're just, once you get, it seems like getting to the point of making the internal decision that you want the divorce and you're going to move forward with it is like climbing a hill with a boulder that you're pushing up, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then when you get to the top of the hill and you made the decision you're going to do the divorce, you just want to snap your finger and be done with it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, and that makes it really, really
hard. Well, it's a lot of work, and, you know, usually both parties are not amicable to everything, so
well,
you have to fight your way through all of it.
You do, and you don't want it to get ugly. And I think a lot of times, you know, you're always thinking like that's my the father of my children,
right,
or
sure.
For men, you know, that's the mother of my children.
Sure.
And so you don't want to kind of put the stake in the heart,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time,
but you need to stick up for yourself right from the start, because if you don't do it from the start, you end up, you know, in the end, not getting what you deserve.
And that's so true, and that's absolutely, absolutely true. You know what? We're going to take just a quick commercial break here, which is really to play a song, and then we're going to come back. Our next caller is on 609. Our next one is 313. Our next one after that is 812. And then the one after that is 832. We'll be back in two.
Cause I feel so high with, I'm reading.
You're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm here with my co-host, Jessica. I'm Dr. Jenny, and we're going to take some more callers tonight, do some more readings, and later on we're going to be talking about how to tap into your romantic intuition. I also want to tell you, if you ever want to call me privately and get a reading not on the radio, you can do that by calling 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446, or go to the website at www.drginny.com. There you go. All right, let's go ahead and take our next caller. Looks like our next caller is calling in from area code 609 with a prefix of 433. How can I help you?
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Jackie. I'm calling you from New Jersey.
Jackie from New Jersey. Great. Well, welcome.
Thank you. I have one question.
Then I only have one answer.
Well, there you go. You put the fun back in my voice.
Good. Good.
Anyways, I'm going for a final visa interview next Wednesday, and my husband has refused to come with me. And I just believe that he'll be there on Wednesday, and I'm going to get my visa so I can go get my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, yeah, and he's just putting me in this state of anxiety, not talking. And I know he can easily pull that thread. So I just wanted to find out if you have any inkling of what's going to happen.
Okay.
I'm just
so
anxious, yeah.
Now, your husband cannot hear this call no matter what, not on an extension, no way,
no
how,
no matter
correct?
What. He can hear,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so this is what I want to tell you, and you know this to be true, but I want to make sure we're both on the same page with this. You are with him, even though he's difficult and
mm-hmm.
controlling and, dare I say,
mm-hmm.
a bit of a jerk. But the reason you're with him...
Yes.
Yes. The reason you're with him is you need this visa and you need to be able to bring your children over, correct?
That's true.
Okay. All right. So I think that he is not going to not show up. In other words, I do think last minute he will be there. But you're right. He's taking his pound of flesh right now. That's what he's doing. He's making it really difficult for you. He's putting you through heck and back. And my suggestion is, and I know why you're doing this, and I understand it, and I fully respect it. I know how hard it must be. You're trying to make a better life for you and your children. And
yeah.
So I understand why you have to go the route you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You will be successful in getting this done. You just be very, very, very careful with him, okay?
Okay.
You know that, right?
Yeah, usually I'm just being quiet. I told his uncle, and the uncle said he'll talk to him. I know he could definitely show up, but he can just be a jerk.
Well, I know, yeah. I know. And I feel that. And he's moody, and you never know what mood he's going to be in, and sometimes he says awful things to you, correct?
Yeah, yes, he was happy the whole day yesterday. Towards nighttime, he became my nightmare.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
I mean, yeah.
How is his eating? How does he eat? Does he eat healthy?
No, not really. He just likes junk food.
And I want to ask you if he's diabetic.
Not that I know of.
Has he been tested? Has he been tested?
Not that I know of.
Because I'm just saying, again, I'm not allowed to give medical advice.
Yeah.
Okay, because I am not licensed, a medical licensed doctor in that area, so I cannot give medical advice. This I must say, for liability reasons, is for entertainment value only, so I've now stated that. However, now I can continue to say that I get this warming sensation near the pancreas, which to me, the way I'm interpreting this, shows me he's either diabetic or pre-diabetic.
Okay.
Which can help with his mood swings.
Okay.
Which we both know he has all the time, right?
A lot.
Have you noticed it usually takes place about an hour after he's eaten something or had alcohol? I'm not saying that he's drinks
alcohol.
Actually,
he doesn't drink.
Yeah.
He stopped drinking, but he smokes.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't tell. And right now, I don't want to hear about his health because I will surely be telling him in a very bad way. So,
I'm just trying to give you a heads up. About an hour after
right.
he eats stuff like that, he's going to turn kind of ugly on you. So if you time it right, you can lay low. That's not the answer I want to give you, but it's the Christian answer I have to give you.
What I'll do is I'll sit down and try a note after eating, you know, and find out what's going on.
Right, because if you could keep the sugar from shooting up really high, then he won't have that dip an hour later, and then he won't have the, you know what I'm saying? Then he won't get that angry phase. So I think that'll help a little bit. I can't change who he is as a person, but I do know that he will show up for this. Okay? He will show
so
up for this.
Just acting out.
Yeah.
Just as
because
I'm speaking
he can,
to you, just
and it
sent
gives
me a
him
text.
Control.
Yeah. Just now, he just sent me a text because he knew I spoke to his uncle as I'm talking to you. He said, I can see you're now playing with me. So I've just seen you just now as you're talking to me.
Yeah. Well, so now he's going to talk to you?
Well, I'm not responding, but now that I believe he's going to be there, I'm just going to keep cool, you know. You learn how to keep quiet, so I'm just going to keep quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you to know you don't have to worry, and I want you to know that this is going to work in your favor eventually. You just have to go through a little bit longer of a feeling like, you know, someone else controls
because,
you.
Because I was supposed to travel on the 1st to go see the children who have been disappointing for the last 6 months, and if I don't see them. On April 1st, because that's the time I have my leave available to me, my vacation time, it's just going to be a headache I'm not going to be able to contend with, you know, because I haven't seen them, you know, and the kids are getting anxious. These are small children, and I'm running out of answers for them.
Well, and I think your only answer is, I'm seeing that, you know, when I ask, is he going to show for this, he's going to show. And then if he does show, you don't have to worry about it because you'll be able to bring them over. If he doesn't show, I think we both know what you have to do, right?
I really don't know what I have to do. I'm at that stage where I don't know what I have to do. But I guess if something will come up, yeah, because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. And in terms of, I mean, this place at work where I feel I need to try and also increase by maybe going back to school,
right,
neither am I getting those responses because, you know, this is the most important because if my visa is not right, my work permit, so it's really a lot of things, you know.
I know.
This is the most important thing for me right now.
And I understand that. And I, like I said, I do feel he's going to show up because he knows if he doesn't, then you're not in his life anymore. And that's what he wants to do is control you, but he doesn't want you not to be there, okay? So that's
amazing.
Why he's going to show up. And you did the right thing by
okay.
calling the uncle, or you did the right thing, okay? I know this
well,
is hard,
yeah, we'll
and my heart breaks for you.
No, thank you very much. At least that should give me a little bit of consolation as I collect myself for next week and wait and see what's going to go down.
Yeah. Just remember this, Jackie. You know, you've gotten, how long have you been with him?
3 years.
Okay. So you're 3 years into this, right? You could be starting that three-year journey. You've got those 3 years behind you. You're this close to the visa. Let's get that taken care of, and then, you know, then you can...
Oh, after that,
separate.
Now it is clear, now that you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I know what to do.
I think you knew what to do all along. You just needed somebody to validate it for you. Yeah, yeah. You're a smart woman, and you're a survivor, and you will survive. And your children will thrive once they get here, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Listen, God bless you.
Have a blessed one as well. Thank you.
You too, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Wow. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
It is, because, you know... Yeah.
Not being able to be with your children, I cannot even fathom that.
And worse, you know, there are so many parts of the country, of the world, rather, where it's not safe to be.
Right.
So you have to do what you have to do to survive. And people in the United States often don't understand what it's like to come from some of these other countries where you don't have health care. You don't have, there's no, you know, it's not that you don't want to work. You can't get a job.
Right.
There's immense poverty. And so people have to come over and do what they have to do to be able to get their needs met and that the needs of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
But I applaud Jackie and I pray for her strength.
Yes.
And I pray for a successful conclusion to what she is trying to have happen here. And mostly I pray for her to be united with her children, for her to have peace.
Absolutely.
Because that's the most important thing. Okay, let's go ahead. No, we can't. I've got to take a break after that because it slays me. I'll be back in two.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne, she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Maybe I have been here before. I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march. It's a cone and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 The time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Above, and all I ever learned from love was how to shoot at someone who outdrew you. And it's not a cry you can hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And that was Rufus Wainwright with Hallelujah. He does a very nice version of that song, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he does. We were talking about machine guns and baseball bats.
Yeah.
I won't say anything else.
Yeah. We were talking pretty graphic about them.
Yes, yeah, we were. Yeah, Jackie,
so
we're on your side. That's all I'm going to say.
We are on your side, honey.
100%. 100,000%. All right, let's go ahead and take our next caller. Calling in from 832 with the prefix of 360. Can I help you?
Hi.
Hi, what's your first name?
Susan, I'm calling from Houston. My boyfriend and I had an argument about 2 months ago, and we were going to call it off, and then we were going to call it on, and he's just been wishy-washy ever since. But I don't want to completely throw the relationship away. I've tried to be positive and thinking that we could date other people. Maybe that would be the answer. Maybe we needed time. But then he changes his mind like every 2 weeks. It's 1 week, and then the next 2 weeks, I want to be your friend, and then the next 2 weeks, I want to be together, and then I just want to be your friend. It's just kind of, I'm wondering if there's any value in the relationship and if I'm doing the right thing.
Okay. Well, the first thing I can tell you that I do see, Susan, is that there is love in this relationship. Regardless of how he's treating this right now, there is love there. And I also see, and this is kind of a weird thing, like you wanted this to head towards marriage. Is that correct?
Maybe toward living together. I don't know about marriage.
So a committed
I just wanted to be together more.
The thing that I'm getting, though, and I keep getting from him, your energy is you're ready to move forward with this. But I guess I'm going to ask you this question. It might help answer the question that you're asking me. If you're in a situation where you're not sure what you want, which is the case with him right now, he's not sure what he wants because 1 minute he's in, 1 minute he's out, I'm going to tell you, stop making it so easy for him to step back in, because it's kind of like, okay, I'll put it to you this way. I really dislike bologna sandwiches. Matter of fact, I don't like them at all. Okay, growing up, my mother gave me bologna sandwiches every day for school. And it was like, really, who eats bologna? So, whenever I go on a diet, I crave bologna sandwiches. Why? Because I know they're not healthy. I don't even like them. I don't even want them. But I crave them because I know I can't have them. And I think when we are always a rock or the person there that the other person can go back to at their whim whenever they choose, they're never really without us. So you always let him know that when he decides to come back to you, that you're waiting with bated breath. And the truth
oh,
is...
Really?
Sorry. Go ahead.
And we really haven't, in the last 6 weeks, we really haven't been together very much because we, you know, he said we needed some space, so I gave it to him. And then when I do that, that he tries to suck me in, but I'm not falling for that one, you know? I'm trying to do that, but I'm just trying to also, you know, I don't want to start going out with other people if there's value in my relationship. I mean, but sometimes he gives me hope, and then sometimes it's like he's kind of mean about it sometimes.
Well, so do you always give him that second chance? Do you let him think that you're sitting there waiting for him?
Well, lately, no. In the last 6 weeks, no. I mean,
but prior to that?
Prior to that, we talked every night. I was at his place every weekend, all weekend long, and I've only seen him in the last week, 3 times. And it has been hard.
Yeah, I know. I know it's been hard.
But I'm trying to work on me, where I fit into it and where my part, I played in it, and I can't, if I'm with him, I can't really go through my, make me happy with me, you know, understand?
I sure do. I sure do.
And I won't be happy with me. I don't want to, I'm really sad that we're not together, but I don't want to get together if we're not right for each other. And I feel like there's love there. But
I do see that there's love there. There's no doubt about that. But I feel like he has other things on his mind. There are other things that he feels that he's looking for or hoping for that he feels wasn't a part of the relationship that you and he had. I also have to ask you this. Are you looking to go back to school, or is there some kind of certification you need?
Well, I work in a school.
Okay. All right. Because were you thinking about taking some additional classes? What's the deal there with that?
Well, I had to be certified with so many hours.
Okay. That's what they're showing me then. That makes sense. I'm going to tell you that, and it's funny because our shows always seem to have a major theme, and it's a constant theme. And this one tonight is, it seems to be really making sure that you're comfortable with who you are and getting your life back on track and following your dreams, and then finding a person, whether it be him or not, that's going to complement that life. And so often we seem to focus that without the relationship our life isn't worth anything. That's just not the case. Your life is your life. No one can live it for you. No one can have your career for you. No one can make your decisions for you. You make total choices on your life. And so you have to make choices that are going to make you happy. And then, and only then, if he can complement those choices that you've made and be an asset to your life and can move seamlessly into a relationship with you where it's comfortable for you both, then great. You know, I mean, guns ablaze and go for it. But and I said that because you're from Houston, so I figured it was a cute analogy. But I really,
well, you know,
really
we're both spiritualists. You know, we have a lot in common.
Yeah,
and that's what makes it so hard because you know he crawls into me and I crawl into him. And if
I do feel like that.
He's calling me.
I feel like he has a big connection to you, and it's almost like he needs some time. I would give him this time that he's looking for. Because I think if you don't give him the time he's looking for, he's going to pull back even further. You definitely need to give him.
I get the feeling. Sorry, I didn't mean to. But I get the feeling that he used to chat a lot, and I have a feeling he's a woman and the whole Brooks business. Because I've been having those dreams for about the last 3 months.
Okay. Well, you're breaking up really bad right now, so I didn't hear most of what you just said, but But I think what you said is you feel that there is another woman.
Okay. Okay, is that better now?
Yes, I
can
hear
me
now.
Okay.
I sure can.
I've been having dreams for the last 3 months, and I have a very clairvoyant nature, and I have dreams that come true. And I've been seeing pulled toward another city, like 2 hours away. And I feel like, you know, I told him, I said, if you chat, it doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me, just to make it personal. And I have just a funny feeling I've got is just I think he's been talking to somebody on there because he doesn't see himself as attractive. And I think he thought, well, maybe she'll find me attractive. I don't know. Men think those silly thoughts. But, you
I'm
know,
not
there was
getting
nothing
that.
Wrong.
Yeah. I'm getting that you're both involved in the holistic side of life, that you're both, well, I know you have visions and dreams. I know that
mm-hmm.
he feels that he has a very strong intuition. I believe that he probably does. I think that you both are very good at seeing the good in people. I see Dallas as a location. Now, who's talked about going to Dallas?
Well, that's where my family's from.
Okay. So I'm feeling a pull in that direction, and I do see a move. Now, I don't know if that's a move together with him or individually for you, but I see a move to Dallas. Okay.
He would never move to Dallas.
Well, this is what they're telling me, that you have to give your worries about this whole issue away, because
mm-hmm.
I'm being told that the angels have been physically in motion around you, trying to get you over this so you can get through this. That doesn't mean not have
That's
a relationship
right.
with him, but to get over it so you can get through it. And you can do this by moving forward with your life. And what is this about the exercising thing you're trying to talk to me about? What do you do to get your adrenaline up?
Well, I try to exercise every night or in the morning.
Okay. And you've been sticking to that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to
go on a good path. I mean, I felt like exercise was a good stress reliever, even though I don't have high blood pressure or anything, but I just felt it would be good for me.
Exercise gives you endorphins, and endorphins make
mm-hmm.
you happy. And happy people
mm-hmm.
don't kill their husbands, and that's a line from Legally Blonde, and I just have to finish saying it. But I do really think that you are on the right path, and you have to just continue on it. I would not be so quick to even talk with him next time he wants to talk with you. It's not fair for someone to dangle a carrot in front of your face and then jerk it away each time, and that's what he's been doing. And you wouldn't do that to your cat or your dog or your horse. Again, Houston, horse. But I mean, you wouldn't do that. So why would you do it to a human being? It's not fair and it's cruel. And so in respecting yourself, you have to say, okay, I'm moving forward. And you move forward. You take care of you. Two things are going to happen, and I don't know. I feel like we've spoken before. I don't know if we have or not, but I feel like we have.
Called and tried to make an appointment, and we couldn't get through to each other because I was supposed to make an appointment and it just didn't work out.
Okay, that's it, because I can always tell when I've connected with somebody energy-wise. I feel like you're going to move forward, okay, and you're going to actually find somebody. You're going to cut off ties to him because what he's doing is mean and it's not nice. And, you know, you don't want to hit him in the head with a clipboard. So what you're going to do is you're going to move forward, and then when you do move forward, you're going to find somebody else. Now, here's the catch to all this. He's suddenly going to come running back, and then you're going to have to make the choice. I can't tell you what choice you're going to make because I can't take your free will away from you. But there is going to be another man that comes into your life. And the weird part is I see that you met this other, like he's involved in the spiritual, like I'm going to call it spiritualist world, so to speak. Either you know him online or that you've met him through some type of maybe blog or chat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I feel like you will have met him through that type of scenario. And you two will meet, and you're going to click. And you think that you totally click with this other guy, but this new guy who has an R in his name is really going to click with you. And you may not want the old guy anymore. But you may still. I'm not telling you won't. You may still. But the point is that choice will be yours, and you'll be able to make that decision. So the new guy you will meet through some type of spiritualist involvement. Well, maybe you go to a meetup or a group thing, or maybe a class on intuition or psychic, how to build your psychic intuition. And you'll meet him, and suddenly it'll be like, bam. And you'll literally feel electrified when you touch his hand. I mean, literally like an electrical current is going through your hands. And he will have an R in his name, and that's how you'll know it's him.
Okay.
If you don't, by the electric jolt, which I would think would be surprising, by then if you haven't figured it out, really, I don't think I can help you. But I think that'll be your first clue. When you feel like you just touched lightning, there you go. But I think you're going to be fine. I just think that your self-esteem took a little bit of a shot here. And it shouldn't, because you know you're smart. You know you're good-looking. You know, actually, and I'm going to say this to you, and you know it's true, you were actually out of his league, weren't you?
Well, yes, that's what hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
I know.
And another,
I know.
You know what's also so crazy? His little man package is small, too, so I don't know why he's not worshiping me. I just don't get it.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Sorry to be so honest.
Listen, you know what they say about small hands and small feet? That means small gloves and small shoes. That's what
he's tall. He's real tall. He's tall. And
that doesn't mean anything.
But I loved him, you know? I loved him.
And you're thinking, what the heck, you know? I mean, you've got so much to offer.
And he's not that handsome, you know? And I thought,
right.
Golly.
Yeah. I know.
I couldn't believe he would turn me down.
It's so funny you say that, because that's one of the things I was sensing. Like, the angels are saying, different levels, different levels. Like, you're so many levels above him. So it kind of and it's funny, because I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. It defies logic. But the problem is you're looking for logic where it's illogical. Like, it's not logical that he doesn't want you, right? It doesn't make sense, because you're everything he was looking for and then some, and a whole heck of a lot better than he's ever going to get. And yet he's still deciding not to go in that direction, or constantly back and forth like a fan that oscillates, you know?
Right.
I'm going to go in this direction. It's so frustrating. And you've got to make him make a choice. And the way you do that is take his choice away from him. Say, you know what, I'm not going to be with you. You haven't made up your mind. Because I guarantee you he's going to call you pretty soon again. And you're going to say, you know, look, I'm not into the game playing. You know, I thought we were both on a little bit higher level of consciousness, which is what you both have talked about. Am I correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we're supposed to go out next week on Thursday to the rodeo, and I'm supposed to spend the night there, but I'm just going to get up first thing in the morning and just go, you know. I'm not going to stick around.
And see, here's the thing. You're talking to me that you hardly talked at all in the last 6 weeks, but now you're saying you're supposed to go to the rodeo. So you're leaving
that's
an important pack.
Well, that's been like 2 or 3 months ago. Those tickets were bought.
Who owns them? Who has the tickets in their hand, you or him?
He does.
Hmm. Well, if you just...
It's a weird situation.
Well, to say the least.
He said last week when we briefly spoke, he said, but we're still going to the rodeo, right? And I said, yeah, because I had asked for time off.
So you're still going.
But I'm just
going
to.
That's the decision. But don't you see you're playing into it? You're playing into it.
I know. I'm just going to play it real cool and go to the rodeo, and then probably that night I'll just go home.
Well, okay. Now, Susan, let's talk about this. Why wouldn't you go home? Okay, let's talk about it. I'm not saying, and you know, a lot of times when people call me, they're like, well, you know, it's a Christian psychic cafe, so I'm not going to tell you that I spent the night at his house. That's I could care less about that. I only care about, you're kind of like saying, okay, now I'm going to be your friend with benefits, and I'm getting no commitment at all out of this, so why would he even...
No, it wasn't like that. I was just saying it was going to be so late that I was going to be so tired. I mean, it was probably going to be 1 or 2 o'clock when we came in, and I'd be tired.
Well, sure
That's
you
all.
Would, so you might as well just stay with him, right? Now,
not,
Susan,
not,
are you kidding?
Not this time. I'm leaving.
I might be married, but I'm not dead. I know what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking.
I'm not thinking that at all.
Of course not. I know. Well, I'm going to tell you, leave your magnifying glass at home. Do not spend the night with him. Okay?
You're funny.
And then what you need to do is you need to stop making yourself so available towards him. Because if you keep making yourself available, what is giving him any reason to change?
Uh-huh.
You know? You're just not. And Jessica, do you agree with this?
Oh, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Not being psychic, just as advice, as human.
That is good advice.
I just find it strange that up to that point, that happened several months ago, we were perfectly fine and everything was fine. I love you. And then, 3 days later, boom. I just don't understand how I can.
He did meet somebody who caught his attention, who he has not captured, by the way. He has not captured. And has.
I don't think she wants him.
Mm-mm, no, exactly. But
I think she's married.
Oh, joyful. How joyful. I'm going to tell you, if you want to go to the rodeo with him, go. But I think it's because your hopes are up that you're going to be able to commit, make another commitment with him, and he's going to say, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking now that I see you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so in love. But what I'm thinking,
I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. I don't want to take the hope away that it could happen, but I don't see that happening because, if you can get the milk for free, why buy the cow? Right?
Well,
you're making
it so easy
for him not to commit.
If, like you say, he had tried to instigate something with somebody, and I don't think he's going to be successful with it,
he won't be.
No.
And then he'll come back to you.
And then, I don't want somebody like that, though. That's my whole problem.
Exactly. Because now he's affected your self-esteem, and golly gee willikers, he should kiss the ground you walk on. So
I know.
Walk away from this. Let this be the last commute because it's hurting you otherwise, Give yourself a chance to move forward and meet somebody else. He's going to come back. When he comes back, he needs to make a decision. None of this, dangle that teeny little carrot and then not follow through, okay?
Maybe I'll dangle a teeny little carrot over his head.
There you go. Better to be the dangler than the dangly.
That's for sure.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And I want you to know, though, that you did fulfill the complete stereotype of Texas, and particularly Houston, by saying you were going to the rodeo. So thank you for that. You made my evening. Susan, listen, good luck, okay? You're welcome, and make the right choice, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Well, she was sweet.
She
I like
was
her.
Cute.
Yeah. I love people with a good sense of humor.
I
they
think she
my
needs
day.
To shop around further.
She does,
Number one,
mm-hmm.
Small package.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometimes good things come in small packages.
Okay.
But almost never.
I guess what, you and I are talking about different packages.
I'm talking about diamond packages. Yes. No, seriously, you're right. Small packages.
The whole thing is, she's a beautiful girl. He doesn't appreciate her. She deserves somebody so much better.
I think what happens sometimes when I always, and any of my clients know I do this, I always compare it to rungs on a ladder. Number one is being the lowest level on that
mm-hmm.
ladder, number 10 being the highest level on that ladder. And a lot of times people who date three rungs beneath them
uh-huh.
are like shocked, like why is this person not, bending over backwards to get to me?
Right.
And a lot of times it's because that person realizes you're out of your, you're totally out of your league,
uh-huh.
right? So they're thinking, okay, this person's out of my league. I'm gonna have fun, but I can't be with this person because I will never be able to raise to that level. And it's too hard. And if I wanted to be at that level, I could be or would be, but I'm not because it's easier not to try so hard.
Right.
And that's a lot of the times why people do that. And he
I
is clearly three or four rungs below.
Wait, apparently.
And that's just sad. She needs to go find herself a hot little cowboy.
She could do that. Go to the rodeo without him.
And find a guy with no shirt and abs.
Abs.
We like abs.
Cowboys should have abs, shouldn't they?
I would think, especially if they're in a rodeo.
I
love going to the rodeo. We need to go to the rodeo. We need to go to Silver Spurs.
Well, they just had the rodeo.
Do you know they closed the schools in Kissimmee for the rodeo?
I know, because I told you that.
Yes, that's right. I think going to the rodeo is an absolute blast. It's a lot of fun because you get to see some really cool things that you don't normally get to see.
Oh, it's so much fun.
We got to do that. Let's make
a
plan.
Cowboys are fearless.
You know, but they're true men. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, they're crazy.
I mean, honestly,
you have balls running at you. No, thank you.
Well, you're riding them.
No, I wouldn't do that either.
I think, you know, I remember watching some movies years ago where, you know, some of these people, they've broken them nearly every bone in their body at least once. And I just don't know what, imagine how they walk when they're 60 or 65. But I think, I mean, if you talk about swooning, a real cowboy can make you swoon. Because that guy is tough as nails.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look what they do.
Yeah,
I don't
you're
get
grabbing
it.
A bull by the horns and throwing him on the ground.
I guess that's kind of like people who are on, like, adrenaline rushes. They are addicted to adrenaline rushes, you know?
You have to be an adrenaline junkie to do stuff like that.
I would think so because
Because it's dangerous.
Yeah, you know, I think that some people have that lane. Like policemen, okay?
Uh-huh.
That's a dangerous job, too. I
you
mean,
can
that's
get
a
shot.
Tough job. And I admire every woman that is married to a policeman or any female that is a policeman. It's so hard, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough job because your job is to go out there and defend the rest of the world against all the crazies.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do that either. So I give so many people kudos for doing it.
I do, too, because, you know, you see these things and you hear these stories, and, you know, it's kind of like paranormal situations where everybody runs and we're like, oh, what can we do to help,
right?
Know. You know, my daughter was talking about that the other night, how, you know, our dinner conversations are not like most of the dinner conversations her friends have.
That's probably
true. You know,
true.
And it's true, but I would imagine it's the same thing for police officers. You know, they are exposed to so much of this stuff.
I don't know if they talk about that, though, do they?
I don't know. I would think that they don't, but I would think that they should. But
well,
I think that a lot of them try to keep it away from their family life, keep it at the office.
Well,
so
this
to speak.
Way their wives don't freak out. Oh, my God, I got shot at a couple times today. Can you imagine?
Well, your husband was a police officer for a short time, wasn't he?
He was. No, he didn't really do anything dangerous, though.
What did he do?
Nothing.
He's my ex, so basically he did nothing.
And wasn't adventurous or brave or anything.
He wasn't at all? Not even a little bit?
I'm sure he must have been, but, you know.
Probably not. He probably was in it for the donuts, right?
we're going to
get letters. We're going to be in trouble. I'm only kidding. Here, I really do respect police officers. It's a tough job. And when I hear these stories on TV where they didn't follow exact protocol, you know, excuse me, somebody's shooting at me or somebody, you know, if I think so... You got to protect yourself.
Somebody would be hiding under a car.
I know. I'd be the one like, okay, you know what? You go ahead. I'm just going to hide behind this rock and, you know, you leave because, you know, yeah, I couldn't do that. No.
I mean, you have to be, you know,
a superhero.
Courageous.
You do, and you have to, your concern for others has to be above concern for your own safety sometimes.
Yeah,
and
God
bless
be.
Them. Yeah, I mean, God bless them, truly, you know, the good people. Okay, so let's go ahead and take our next caller at area code 618 with a prefix of 509. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I really enjoyed hearing your conversation.
Oh, well, thank you so much. What's your first name?
It's Violet.
Violet, okay. And how can I help you, Violet?
Well, I kind of like this man, and I'm just wondering whether I haven't heard from him in a while, and I'm just wondering whether it's finished or, you know, whether I'm still might hear from him.
Okay. All right. Well, first thing I'm going to say is that I do feel... See, I always like to give really positive advice when people call in. But in this particular case, I feel like he has retreated. And I think that part of it was for health reasons. And I can't explain what I mean by that, but that's what I'm getting, that he has retreated for health reasons. Did he have any kind of health conditions?
No.
Or did he have a parent that maybe he had to take care of?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because I'm getting health reasons as one of the reasons he retreated. It doesn't have to be his health. It could be because his time was being taken up by having to take care of somebody else. But I feel like that is one of the reasons why he retreated. But I'm going to ask you this question, which you won't appreciate. Who was the other woman in his life?
I really don't know much about this guy. We kind of sort of met in match, and we hit it off so well. He was talking to me every other day. He called me, and then he said he was going to come and visit me for Valentine's. And then he canceled just the night before and told me that his daughter-in-law basically is having a reconstructive surgery from the bowels. And then at first I said, okay, I'm so sorry. But then I was like, okay, this just does not sound
right.
I told him, don't call me anymore because I think it's not going to go anywhere. And then most of us women, when we're about to meet someone we don't know, we search a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I searched a little bit and found that he has an ex-wife who is very open on Facebook. So and I realized that it was really true from her messages that daughter-in-law did indeed have a reconstructive bowel surgery. I emailed him and I said, I'm sorry, I've been in this country on my own for a long time. So I did not really mean that we are not compatible. And so we talked and we started talk again. He wished me happy birthday on February 23rd and again on February 24th. And then I never heard from him, so I don't know.
Did you respond to his happy birthday wishes?
I did, yes,
okay.
Of course.
So the first thing I want to tell you is that when I said to you that I feel like he retreated and it was for a health issue, not necessarily his health issue, but the health issue of someone else, that would, in fact, be exactly what he told you, isn't it?
Yes, but, when he retreated, okay, so I guess that is the retreat, right?
That is the retreat. And I think that there is another, and I did see another female in his life, and it might be his ex-wife. Even though he's divorced, I still feel that she pulls his strings a little bit. And by that,
yes,
I don't mean...
I think so.
Yeah. I don't mean in a intimate relationship. I just feel like he can't disconnect from that yet. And I feel like he has very strong family ties. So I feel like when you... did the little bit of outburst that you did, I understand why you did it, because you don't cancel Valentine's Day the night before. You don't do that.
Yes.
However,
and, I mean, he was going to come here for 3 days, and I made all these plans, and I canceled my plan, okay?
Mm-hmm,
and then all of a sudden, and I felt like he was just pulling some kind of crap, because if he really wanted to, he could have come on Sunday, you know?
Yeah.
Or Monday after the surgery, you know?
Right.
So I was like, just tell me the truth. Don't lie.
Right. And then he wished you happy birthday, and you tried to talk to him a little bit, but he has not responded.
No, I did not. No, I don't do that anymore. So basically what happened is he texted me on February 23rd, said, happy birthday. I said, thank you. And then on February 24th, he wished me again happy birthday. I said, thank you. We're going home from Chicago because he knows I don't drive. And, oh, my God, my friend is passing 4 lanes. I'm running out of breath. He smiled. And that's the last I heard from him.
Okay. I would say to you that right now he's not in a place where he can get involved in a relationship. I think that if you choose to reach out to him one more time, it would not be a bad thing. I do not think he is intimately involved with another woman at this point in time. But I also think that his marriage was one that was filled with a lot of accusations and anger, and that his ex-wife, I feel, had a temper. And as soon as you said what you said to him, which, by the way, any other female would have felt the same way, so you had every right. But I think when you did that, he just all of a sudden had flashbacks of his marriage, and it scared him. And so, yes, for the health reasons, like I said, he retreated, but that's not the only reason he stayed retreated. He stayed retreated because of what you did. But, you know, look, the majority of the people that listen to this show are females, and I'm going to tell you the majority of them are going to say the same thing. A man does not cancel the night before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
There's a 3 days planned. And even we do know now that it's true, because it was on his ex-wife's Facebook page that this truly did happen. And I do believe it did happen. I do believe that's the reason why he canceled. I still don't think he's in a place right now to get involved in a relationship. But if I were you, I think he will be down the road, and I think he would be good for you. But remember two things. You need to start a commentary with him now that's just strictly friendly. And number two, you need to watch your temper. because if you do that one more time, make an accusation where he's being falsely accused, he is so tired of being falsely accused and not have committed the crime that he will retreat and be gone forever. Okay?
Right, but he has been divorced, he said, for many, many years.
Since
4 years, mm-hmm. and he had a other relationship after that for 3 years, and mm-hmm. he said the reason why that ended is because he couldn't move it into the next level because she couldn't marry anybody who was not from her nationality. So I just really thought that he was over his ex-wife, whatever. But she does mention him on his Facebook every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
She would say something about his ex-husband. So I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, she pulls his strings. He's still a little bit of a puppet. He's not ready to move on emotionally to a healthy relationship. So, but do keep the communication open with him as friends.
Well, I mean, I just kind of don't want to. I mean, I'm sorry. But, like, it's been since February 24th. He texted me. I texted him back. I just think, I don't know. I'm just not comfortable in reaching out to him. You know, it would be nice if he reached out to me because he still, I'm sorry, but you're right. He still did what he did, and what he did was not right. It was just very, I mean, my expectations were just, I was hoping my expectations were broken.
Let me ask you this question, playing devil's advocate just for a moment. Who in this country that's living here right now do you love with all your heart, a family member or a friend? Who do you care about more than anything right now?
My mom.
Okay. So if the night before you were supposed to meet him, if your mom, God forbid this didn't happen and it's not going to, we're not putting anything on there, but had some kind of like terrible heart issue and was rushed to the hospital, what would you have done?
Oh, I would have done something else. I would have totally canceled, of course. But I would have been so extremely apologetic. I would have not texted. I would have called the person. I wouldn't have said, mm-hmm. can we call? I would have called. I would have
right.
said, I'm really, really sorry. I want to meet you. Let's schedule as soon as possible right now. Let's schedule right now another time. And I totally understand if you don't trust me because this is coming out of nowhere. But you can talk to my sister. You know what I mean? Like, I would have lied, put myself
you
out
would
there.
Have, you would have
like,
really sold
I am
it.
So sorry. Yes, and he did not do that at all. He just sent me a text a night before mm-hmm. and said, hey, we need to talk because I don't think I can make it tomorrow. And it was just so cold, very cold.
Yeah.
Didn't even.
And
know, like
too,
I
sometimes when people, I'll give you an example. Years ago when I used to work for companies and people had to be let go, there was nothing worse to me than having to let somebody go. And so I would want to cry. I hated it. I hated having to tell people bad news. So what I would do is I would like build up this kind of like super strength. And then I was kind of cold because I had to detach so that I could let them go because that's what the company required me to do. And I hated it, so I had to be kind of cold. And maybe he did something similar because he hated that he had to tell you this. And then
well,
you got
maybe,
really mad.
But I still forgave him. Even though after that, I still forgave him. I said, okay. And then on Monday, I'm the one that said, would you like to talk? Let's talk. So we talked. And then he told me. And then when we talked, he said, we're going to make plans to meet after he comes. Listen to this. He had time to go to skiing trip with his client, and that's fine. He said that we're going to make a time to meet after I come back from my skiing trip. And I said, okay. And then he said, when I'm in ski trip, I'll send you some pictures. He never sent me pictures. He just wished me happy birthday a day before and after, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and it's just kind of like my initial reaction, then it just kind of made sense. And why I'm calling you, I should probably let go of this guy already. But I just him, you know, I thought he
understand.
Was just really kind.
Yeah.
And so the way he presented himself, it seemed so honest. And it's that kind of a man with Midwestern values that is just values like morals and honest.
I know, and that's very important to you. That's something that you are looking for in a man. It's like one of the number one or two things that you're looking for is having good moral fiber and character, and I understand that. And all I'm going to say is give him a little bit of communication time, if you would, as a friend, and see how that goes. because I think that eventually he's going to lose those ties to his ex-wife, and he'll be a good catch at that time.
So do you think he's not going to text me if I don't do that? So that's it? Like, if I don't reach out to him at all? Because you know what?
Honestly,
so
I think he will text
him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. I think he will text.
If I wanted to. Like, let me delete everything because I know I will text him.
I know that's funny because a lot of people do that to prevent themselves from doing something. I think that was wise. I think he will text you though, so I don't think you're going to have to worry about it.
Yeah, and is there somebody else maybe also in my life? I met this other guy in Washington, D.C., but I am in Illinois, and he's in D.C.
Yeah,
he's
I don't
such
see
a
that.
Sweet guy.
No. The guy in Washington, I don't see becoming valid. I do see that you're going to actually find somebody who really likes animals. I know that sounds weird. Animals. He's really going to like animals.
He likes animals. Well, you know, maybe you're seeing someone else, but this guy. He has horses, and he's got lots of dogs.
Okay, is this the one from the – which one is this? The one from Washington or the other one?
No, I don't know. The one from Washington is Middle Eastern. This other guy, he's – this one, this guy I just told you about, the one from Michigan, he had animals and animals.
But that's not the one
maybe
I'm seeing. I'm seeing somebody else. This is somebody else who likes animals. Who likes to speak the truth, but the other thing that I'm seeing, he's a very generous person. And by generous, I don't mean gives out a lot of money. I mean is very willing to give of his time.
Don't we all want a guy like that? That's exactly what I want.
It's true. I mean, we all do want a guy like that. So that's a good thing. But I'm seeing generosity is in nature for who he is. So I believe that he's the kind of person who would have no problem working the Feed the Homeless line on Sunday after church, that kind of thing, you know?
How nice.
He's a good person. I do see him coming into your life within the next 8 months, so not as soon as you would probably like, but between now and 8 months from now, I see him coming into your life.
Okay. That's very good. Violet? And one more thing. Do you see me changing my job?
I'd love to answer that question, but I've got
many
callers on the line. I've got to move ahead.
Oh, okay.
But listen, feel free to call me privately if you'd like, and I hope this was helpful to you, hon, okay?
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Violet.
God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and that was Violet, who I think she I understand. You know, you become so soured by the whole Match.com system. Right, and your harmony and all the online dating, and you really never know if the guy's dating somebody, if they're not dating somebody.
Yeah.
They could be divorced, but it doesn't mean they've cut the ties.
Uh-huh.
You just don't know. And that's why, although it does speed things up to cut through the red tape and you don't have to go out to the traditional meetup places to meet people, it does make it more difficult to know what you're getting.
Yeah, the whole online dating thing, you know, you hear so many great stories about it, but it's a lot of work.
Well, and I'm going to say this. There are a lot of men and a lot of women who are no longer involved in a marriage, but stay in the marital home because they say it's easier because until one of them meets somebody else, this makes it easier. And I just have to say, I think that's so hard. And I would, if I was single and I met a guy who said, well, you know, I'm divorced. But I still live with my wife, my ex-wife, because for financial reasons. I'd be like, okay, so what you're saying is that you're still using each other as a crutch, which means you're not emotionally free. And I wouldn't date that person. And I always tell people, unless there's absolutely no other choice, you shouldn't be staying in that marital home together because you're never really divorced until you're living separate.
Right.
Sometimes when you live separate, you decide that you really miss that person, that even though they made you crazy, you miss crazy, you know? Or maybe when you live separate, you feel like you can breathe again and you love it and you're so happy you did it, and that means it's okay for you to move on to relationships with others. But when you're still living in that marital home together, boy, that's a scary thing.
I can't even imagine that.
No, and I think when we are in a relationship with other people, we have strings attached. And when you have strings attached, other people can feel them. They're like energy. It's how I read energy. And that's one of the things we did want to talk about tonight was how to tap into your romantic intuition. You know, we're always talking about how people can tap into psychic abilities to use it to better their love lives, and that everybody has psychic tuition or abilities, everybody. For some people it comes easier, just like playing the piano or playing a sport. You know, you're born with a great ability, and some of us have to work really hard to become great, and some of us, you know, it just comes like that. But there are some tricks that you can use to trust your instincts. And one of those is go with your first reaction, because your first reaction, it sounds weird, but when it comes to love, try to take the logical and cognitive part out of it and focus on what you feel. Because a lot of times when I'm teaching people, you know, how to connect with their psychic ability and their psychic development, I teach them to rely less on logic and more on their gut instincts,
uh-huh.
right? And we talk a lot about that whole GPS, God's positioning system thing, where God put that in every one of us. You have to try to trust those gut reactions, but also keep an eye out for where they could be wrong. I'll give you an example. If someone seems like a great guy, but you meet him and you just get a weird feeling he's a cheater, that's probably your intuition kicking
uh-huh.
in, okay? No. I'm going to tell you, that's kind of what happened to Violet, right?
Uh-huh.
Her gut intuition kind of clicked in. Don't kick him to the curb, though, but within the first few dates, look for other, you know, clues or cues that might support that gut instinct, okay? And don't let your past color your present. Let me give you an example. It'd be like if I was reading client X, doesn't mean the same thing is going on, or just because client X, Y, and Z have a similar start to their story doesn't mean the end is going to be the same.
Right.
So you don't want to reach for a convenient blanket statement or label someone new, because you might be making a mistake, you know, even though they might seem, they might, you know, like okay, well, I'm just checking out, I'm being careful, and, you know, you have this character, so you immediately must be like that person that was no good. That's not fair to you, and it's also not fair to them, and it's often not accurate. So intuition's not about basing your decisions off of things that have happened in your life, because that's more your logical thinking mind kicking in. But I'll give you an example. I'm trying to think this. If, for example, you dated a guy with red hair and he cheated on you. So if you go on a date years later with another guy with red hair and you get this weird feeling about him, that's probably just some sort of emotional transference and not any sort of intuition.
Uh-huh.
So again, use your logic. You know, think,
right.
That's what I'm saying. You know, because you're thinking, well, it's logic that, you know, this is kicking in, so it must be logic. No, it's you know, just because he has red hair doesn't mean he's going to cheat
you the same
way. Right, you're
associating the red hair with being
right.
cheated on.
Right, yeah, it's an emotional transference. So, okay, suppose if you're dating somebody, read your guide for clues about the relationship. Sometimes getting some extra insights, kind of as simple as paying attention to the information that your eyes and your ears are giving you. How does your guy, and I always refer to guys because I'm a girl, so it's easy, but
uh-huh.
this equally relates to women for men. Look for the way that your guy communicates with you through his body language, his words and his deeds, which I always say to everybody is so important. You know, I know that a lot of times people will call in, and I have one particular one where every time her boyfriend calls her, she will look at the phone, and then she's dreading it, okay?
Then obviously you're not wanting to be with her.
Right, exactly. There you go, okay? You know, that's a sign. You know,
uh-huh.
if that's happening, okay, it doesn't matter what they're saying. Their actions are showing
yep.
it, right? If you're looking for a love match, clue into the vibes. Key into the vibes. Open-mindedness is really the key to finding love, but your gut can still be selective. So when you're in large groups, talk to people. Who you feel guided to connect with. Try not to judge someone by their looks, because I have done this, okay?
Judge and, somebody by their looks?
Mm-hmm. People think, well, you're psychic, so you're psychic all the time. No, I turn it on and off, because if I had it on all the time, I'd be insane in a rubber room, okay, in a white jacket. So, no, I don't. But you know, try not to judge people by their looks. I remember judging someone by their looks, and I don't want to say anything just in case they're listening to the show. But it was a gentleman that I met several years back, And his looks was very beatnik looking.
Uh-huh.
I will put it this way. And it turns out that he owned the largest something in the southeastern United States.
Really?
And I judged him. When I first saw him, I thought, stoner. That's what I thought.
Well, and I think that's a leftover thing from high school.
You think so?
You know, you look at people and you kind of put them in a little box.
Right.
Okay, this person's weird. This person's this and that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't really... You have to get to know somebody.
Well, you do, and I think we pigeonhole. That's
mm-hmm.
what you're saying. We do. And so, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is when you're in a large group of people, somebody, you know, looks interesting, go talk to him. If you're pulled in the direction of somebody, and they don't look like the type of person you would traditionally date or go out with, but yet for some reason you find them interesting, follow up on
yeah.
that. Because I'm going to tell you that's usually exactly when you meet the guy of your dreams.
Hmm.
And it's funny because we've all met that person that upon first meeting them, we all judge immediately by someone's looks. Anyone who says they don't is a liar, okay? We do. You look at somebody and you immediately determine you like them. They look friendly. They don't look friendly.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe their eyes are, you know, kind of intense
mm-hmm.
or they're, you know, they look like they're nasty or mean or, dare I say, bitchy. Sometimes people do look like that, and you think, I'm not going to like this person.
Yeah.
And then, you know, within 10 minutes of talking to them, you're like, they are the nicest person in the whole wide world, and you see them with new eyes,
right,
you know?
Right,
and it's the same thing as if you're talking to somebody and you're like, on the outside they don't look so great, but on the inside you just really connect with them,
uh-huh.
give them some time, because I think you could really be cutting yourself you're cutting yourself short. But if you meet somebody and they're hotter than hot,
uh-huh.
they got the abs, they got a cowboy hat and they're rocking it.
Oh my gosh, I want to go out with them.
No. But even if they have all that and they have really large hands and shoes, if something feels off kilter, if something feels off kilter, then it probably is.
Well,
Because we get too caught up in demands and expectations of society, and a lot of times we tend to only look for what other people think they would approve of.
True.
You know, everyone wants to be with the hottest guy in the room.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, if you're with the hottest guy in the room, every other girl wants that guy.
Right.
Think about that.
So you don't want that guy.
Probably not.
You want that guy, but ultimately,
do you want to, every time you turn around, worry somebody's hitting on your guy?
No.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying date ugly men. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to say, you know, we don't go for what other people or what society deems that you should like or want. Go for what you're attracted to. That's what that gut instinct is all about. That's really, really important. I'll give you an example. You meet a guy and you have certain intuitive vibes about him, but because they feel like they're supposed to be married at a certain age or with a certain type of guy, they kind of ignore their intuitive impressions. Okay, I'll give you an example. I could hold up a picture of a really clean-cut looking guy that could be an attorney.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he is an attorney. And you might look at him and say, oh, he's the kind of guy I want to be with. He looks happy, and he looks like he's successful. He's wearing a suit and tie,
uh-huh.
and he's really, you know, nice. But if you really tune in, you notice he's putting off a weird vibe, okay? But when you see him smiling and wearing a suit and tie, you think he's a nice guy. You just tend to think he's a great guy. Well, you find out later it's Ted Bundy. So, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what
right?
you're saying, yeah.
So what you have to do is beware of those dating red flags. If you get that slight instinct something's not right here, don't wait for proof.
Right. Run away.
Walk away, leave. That gut instinct is everything. And sometimes you get that gut instinct like, there's no reason from physicality that I should like this guy.
Uh-huh.
But I do like him. So you know what? Go out with him.
Right.
Because that's a gut instinct. You might find that once he shaves, you know, that Adam's beard off, you know, Grizzly
that
Adam's beard.
That he's super handsome.
But he's adorable and cute and has abs. There you go.
Wow.
You take off that bearskin jacket that he's wearing. I have some pretty good fantasies, let me tell
you. You got some fantasies going there.
I don't even want to know about those. They're scaring even me. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take our next caller, who's calling in from area code 313 with a prefix of 213. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe.
Hello, how you doing today, Dr. Jenny?
I'm doing wonderful, and I know this is Eric from Detroit, Michigan, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How are you doing, Eric?
I'm trying to fight this snow, but I'm doing good.
Oh, good. And you're driving safe because you got a new car, don't you?
Yes, I am. So it is driving safe.
Good. Be careful.
But,
how can I help you tonight?
Well, actually, I was calling to give you a brief update. A couple weeks ago, we was talking about my other job.
This
manager, those so-called, like me, I believe, but now my hours are actually increased. As far as with the airport. Now, I had talked to a lead yesterday. He's just a lead, like kind of like supervisor, so he really don't know about the airport. And I'm a bit worried only because the fact that, you know, my money's getting better and I don't want to conflict with my other job. And now
I understand.
That he's actually still going to keep me on midnights. What do you see now? Because we got this new contract. That's why I'm trying to, you know, that kind of made sense. After we got a phone, I found out we got this new contract. So
I feel you're
going to
get more hours, okay? I feel that you're going to have a steady job there. What you decide to do, I can't say, but I feel like you're going to get the number of hours that you need. If they got a new contract, that's kind of what you need to move forward there, right?
Yeah. Now, are you talking about at the airport or are you talking about at the other job? Would I be
I'm
at
talking
the
about,
both jobs?
I feel like you're going to stay with the airport. I feel like that's really where you need to stay. I feel like they like you there and you know it, right?
Yes, they do.
They do. Because you've done some things by accident that could have caused you to lose your job on many occasions, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But you didn't. They kept you on because they like you. And so I think that if you stay on, it will continue to be successful for you. I can't tell you because I can't affect your free will, but I feel very positive about the airport job.
Okay. Okay.
Now, how do you feel about it?
I feel positive, too, but, you know, I'm still, like, in a state where my money's still building. But, you know, I know you say he'd keep me on midnight. If he keep me on midnight, I'd be able to actually continue work my other job and still keep those hours until I find out, you know, where my other job is actually going to be at. So do you
see
that?
Have you asked him if he could do that?
I have not asked him. He's still, from my understanding, he still really don't know what he's going to do because he got this new contract. But I'm just guessing that he might just keep me on midnight. So, you know, that was our last conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that was the last conversation that you had with him, then I believe that
with
stay.
You.
Okay, yeah, because
no.
I know the last, I don't remember what we talked about the last time we talked because you had called into the show several weeks ago, but I think you need to address that with him because I feel like you need to make it clear to him what you were hoping for so he could try and make that happen for you. I think if you do, then you'll be successful because he does like you. Because if he didn't like you, you'd be long gone, and you and I both know that.
Yeah, so the best thing would be just talk to him. Don't just wait and see if he's still going to keep me on midnights. Because, like I said, I really don't see him. Only communication I have with him is the phone, and sometimes I have to be at my other job and make it kind of difficult. So that's why I'm kind of guessing it's already, he said, between March and April, he'll let me know if he's going to keep me or not. And it's already March, so I'm kind of, you know, up in the air because I have bills I have to pay and this new job, this job, he actually just upgraded my hours. And so I'm trying to figure out until I find a steady job, could I still be at a balance too? Because I don't want to cut the other job into just part-time.
No, I don't want you to either. No. I would express your desire to be able to stay on midnights and ask him if that would be possible. Because by doing that, then he knows that you're going to accept that and you're happy with that. And then I think that when he does make the decision, it'll make his decision easier. But you don't want to tell him that after the fact. So I would broach the subject.
Okay. Now, if I stay a minute, do you see my pay rate going up? Do you see where it's just staying the same way
as that
now?
No, I see your pay rate going up. I actually do see it going up.
Okay, are they going to give me more of a responsibility?
I don't see a lot more responsibility, but I do see the pay rate going up. I'm not familiar with how that could work within your current structure, but that is what I see.
Okay.
Okay.
And then last thing, I know you said job-wise, you see 6 weeks. I'm supposed to go to this job fair in about a week. Now, do you see me having any prospective candidates that's looking at me? Do you see I'm just going to still be at the airport, just wait to see you, you know, just wait to move up in the airport?
Definitely go to the job fair because I do see some new prospects for you, but I don't see anything materializing for about 6 months in that area. But you need to go to the job fair.
Okay. Okay, meanwhile,
which
I
know you
have
hate to do because I know it's, you know, taking time off and stuff, but you need to do that.
I mean, really, like I said, I'm off, so really it's not a problem because Dora says it's after I leave the airport because I work midnight, so actually I'm off. Mm-hmm. That's when it is, Thursday.
Okay.
So meanwhile, for those 6 months, I still be with those two guys because I kind of not liking the RSOP so much no more because the guy, he kind of don't comes off to me the right way.
Okay, yeah. Well, your gut's telling you that, and I think you should follow that. But I do see that if you go to the job fair, something will come from that within the next 6 months, but it's unfortunately going to be 6 months out. So you want to keep the other jobs as long as you can and keep them going because, you know, it's keeping you where you need to be financially right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Then you need to keep doing that. And I bet your mother is very proud of you.
We really don't get a chance to talk that much because, you know, my schedule is around the clock, but
can
I'm
I tell you something, Eric? She's
yeah.
proud of you. She's proud of you because she doesn't have time to talk to you because you're working so hard, and there's no mom who wouldn't be proud of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that. They just put a smile on my face. I'm glad because, you know, that's pretty much, when it comes to my parents, that's pretty much all I want to do, you know, try to put a smile on their face as far as, you know, me showing more responsibility-wise and, you know, going in the right direction because, you know, there's been some mistakes I've made along the path, but I'm trying to get back on the right way. So,
amen. And you are getting back on the right path, and you've been on it now for a while, and you're going to continue to keep on that path. So they are proud of you. So I'm glad I put a smile on your face.
Yeah, well, one more thing on there. I believe you said you was going to Maine in July, or what?
Yeah, I'm going to Maine for the entire month of July, yeah.
Okay, now you remember this mountain? I think it was some religious program called Etna, E-T-N-A.
Yes.
You remember
yes.
you said? And it was funny because that's my mom's name, but it's E-D-N-A.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you something even funnier. My grandmother's name is Etna.
Huh.
How about
that's,
that?
That's a good thing, then. That's a good
that's
thing.
A good
that's a good
thing. That's Eric, that's why we always connected so easily.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
All right.
Like I said, as us, likewise, I do actually, you know, appreciate talking to you. You know, I'm kind of busy now, so I'm not really talking to you as often, but, you know, when I do, I'm trying
to make time.
I love
hearing from you whenever you call, and I'm glad you're doing so well, and I'll continue to look for that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
you take care.
Okay, y'all have a good night, too.
You too. God bless.
Bye-bye,
bye-bye Eric. Eric's a wonderful young man who's really worked hard to, you know, all of us make mistakes in life, all of us.
That's for sure.
And I think it takes such a uniquely strong and smart and a good moral person to recognize it and put themselves on the right track. And Eric's certainly done that, and I'm really proud of him. And I'm glad he called in tonight. You know, I did mention that the month of July and part of August I will be in Maine, but at the residence I'll be at in Maine, I will still be taking calls. So I know I'm going to start getting texts and emails, people worried. I should have said that already. I will be taking calls during the month of July and August. I'll just be in my place in Maine, not in here in Florida. But I will certainly be available, and all the numbers will transfer up. So you don't have to worry about that. Once again, if anybody wants to get a private reading with me, they can call me at 1-800-375-3446, or they can go to my website at drginny.com. That's drginny.com. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We had a good night, didn't we, Jessica?
We did have a good night. You did a lot of readings.
I did a lot of readings, and unfortunately, there's a whole lot more callers in there that I haven't been able to get to, and I'm really sorry. I did try to get to as many as I could.
Well, you've done a lot.
But I want to thank everybody for listening and calling in. We do the show because you do listen and you do call in. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it.
That's right.
We do it because
otherwise we'd be talking to ourselves.
And back in that rubber room. There we go. I want to wish everybody a really good Wednesday night. Please tune in next Wednesday night where we'll have a show, The Christian Psychic Cafe, right here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Jessica and I will tell you all the great and wonderful things that we did in Central Florida this past weekend because we got some big plans.
We do.
We will talk to you all next week. Take care and God bless.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see.